Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Yeah. Yo. Step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real. Strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the trip.
Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and we got a Saturday episode for you today that's going to probably strike a nerve with some part of the IWC, but that's what you come to expect out of the Saturday shows. We got a good topic that we're going to talk about, but before we break into that, I got to talk about the sponsor that powers the Beyond the Junkyard, podcast. And that is Dubby Energy. As you saw on the Thursday live stream, their new Japanese soda flavored energy mix. You saw me, terribly cut that promo there, but good news, you can try Dubby Energy for yourself to see how you like it. You go to dubby.gg, use code Beyond the Yard for 10% off of your order of all of their fantastic flavors. I'm drinking the Japanese soda again today. It's so good, but they got flavors like s'mores and peach and some of, you know, your traditional energy flavors, but some other really cool flavors as well. That's W.GG. Use code Beyond the Yard to get 10% off of your order. And thank you to W Energy for working with the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Some housekeeping real quick. I say it every week at the beginning of the show, but all of our links are in the description box below for all of our other partners like StubHub, WWE Shop, RSS.com. You can join our Discord server in the link in the description. Go to our merch site that's beyond thejunkyard.com. Go to junkyardmediagroup.com. Check out all the other information there. And find all of our other social media links there. If you're watching the YouTube stream of this, click that like button, comment, subscribe, share this video, turn on that notification bell. That way you're notified every time we drop a video. Subscribe, like I already said, we're at 50 subscribers. Let's try and push that closer to 100. We're working our way up in this YouTube game. With that being said, let's have real talk and conversation on this episode. Because it seems like every week the conversation keeps coming up. Oh my gosh, AEW did 500,000 this week. They dropped below this mark. They were down 10% in the key demo. And then, you know, the hot takes start flying. AEW's dying. Tony Khan's losing the war. Nobody's watching Dynamite anymore. And to be completely and honestly blunt with you guys, I'm really tired of it. I'm really tired of it. And it's not because AEW is above criticism. Me and Cody have our fair share, I think, of criticism of AEW. And there are things to criticize about AEW. Dynamite does have its up and downs like any other wrestling product. But the reason I'm tired of it is because the metric that people are using to judge AEW's success, which would be Nielsen TV ratings, it's not just an outdated metric anymore. It is a fundamentally broken system. It's a relic from another time period. And it would be just like if Taylor Swift's album dropped on Friday morning. And if you were to measure the success of Taylor Swift's new album based off of physical CD album sales, it would not be deemed a success because nobody's listening to music on physical CD discs anymore. They're listening on Spotify and Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon Music. The metrics have to change because the way that people listen to the entertainment has changed. So tonight, during this episode, this is what we'll break down. We're going to talk about why AEW's TV ratings, and quite honestly, any shows, any wrestling show, any AEW, WWE, any other show, the ratings really don't matter. Why nobody else's cable ratings really matter, and why this supposed new big data upgrade that Nielsen's has been doing the last couple of weeks is going to make the ratings look worse, not better, but again, the ratings don't matter. So it's going to be part analysis, part rant, because if you really care about the wrestling business's health, which is what I care about, I don't care about AEW's success as a whole. I care about the wrestling industry, the wrestling business's success as a whole. And as a quick aside, outside of this, the reason I get so concerned, and Thursday we talked about the possibility of TNA being bought by WWE. The reason I'm so concerned about that isn't because I hate WWE, but because now there's a one less alternative option. And then that ultimately always hurts the wrestling business as a whole. I care a lot about the business and keeping wrestling going for generations to come. I truly believe that what the top companies do affects what the independent scene looks like. And if we have terrible business being done at the top, then the independent scene suffers. And when the independent scene suffers, it may not be an instantaneous suffering at the top, but the future of the wrestling business fails if the independent scene suffers. And so if you actually care about the wrestling business's health, you need to understand the real picture of how people are viewing wrestling in 2025, not 1995, which is what the Nielsen ratings do. So without further ado, here is today's monologue. All right, so let's start with the obvious. Nielsen, the company that measures TV ratings, was built in a world that literally does not exist anymore. See, back when Nielsen ratings actually mattered, I mean, we're talking about the 1980s, 1990s, early 2000s, Nielsen was the gold standard. They had people meters and sample households, a few, you know, which were a few thousand homes representing millions of viewers. And those meters would record what people were watching live on cable or broadcast. So again, that's here's the big picture is Nielsen doesn't look at every TV that's ever turned on and see what every TV is watching. There are sample TVs, sample meters, and based off of what those sample data gives to Nielsen, then they go off and give this rating. And it's not a 100 proof science. And it actually is a little bit skewed. Even Eric Bischoff back in the 90s always said, take the Nielsen rating and multiply it by 1.5. That was always Eric Bischoff when he ran WCW. That was always how he looked at Nielsen ratings. Take the Nielsen rating, multiply it by 1.5, because there's always going to be some sample data errors. But see, and it worked, because that's how people watch TV. If you wanted to watch Raw...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
In 1999, you had to turn on the USA Network, and that was the only way. You couldn't DVR it. You couldn't stream it on demand. You couldn't catch highlights on YouTube or Twitter hours later. You had one option to watch Raw, tune in live, or miss the episode that week. And so that's the world Nielsen was designed for. But that world is dead and gone, and it's been gone for over a decade. You see, in 2025, the average viewer doesn't care what channel something is on. They care what platform it's on, and they care if they can watch it whenever they want. Live cable TV is now a niche activity. Most people under the age of 40 don't even have cable. So when Nielsen puts out numbers saying AEW Dynamite only did 455,000 viewers, you have to realize that that number doesn't even begin to reflect on the true audience of who is watching AEW Dynamite. And in the same light, when Friday Night SmackDown's ratings or NXT's ratings come out, and they're at whatever thousand viewers, you have to realize that that's not typically the true audience. The true audience is typically higher than what the actual number is. Nielsen ratings only measure the small, shrinking group of people who only watch it live through traditional cable through a Nielsen tracked box. And that's it. It doesn't include people who watch the YouTube clips. Or it doesn't include people that DVR it and views it after 3 or 4 days later. It doesn't include streams on the TBS app or Sling or Hulu or HBO Max. It doesn't include social engagement, clips going viral on social media, and replays on international networks. And like I said, in the intro, This would be like trying to measure Taylor Swift's new album's popularity using only CD sales and not Spotify and Apple Music streams. But let's zoom out. It's not just about AEW. See, every cable network is down. Sports are down. Entertainment is down. News networks are down. You name it. In 2014, there were about 100 million cable households in the United States. In 2025, that number is down to about 65 million. And every quarter, that number shrinks. That's a loss of 35 million potential viewers. More than one third of the entire cable universe is gone. So when AEW does 800,000, that's actually more impressive than doing 1.2 million in 2019, because the pool of people even capable of watching has shrunk by 35 million viewers. A third of the audience is gone. And so if the number is 800,000, when it could have been 1.2 million in 2019, you're actually getting a higher percentage of viewers with the 800,000 than you would have with the 1.2 million back then. But you wouldn't even know that if you looked at the raw numbers. All you see online are people saying, well, AEW dropped from 1 million to 700,000 to 500,000. Look how much trouble they're in. And my response to that has to be, no, cable television is in trouble, not AEW. AEW is actually doing fine relative to the platform that it is on. This is the same reason NFL games look down compared to their 2010 peaks, or why new shows on CNN and Fox News draw fewer viewers now than it did 20 years ago. It's not that because fewer people care. It's because fewer people are watching TV the, quote, old way. People have traded in their cable boxes for Roku sticks, smart TVs, and YouTube apps. The audience didn't vanish. It just migrated, and Nielsen can't see where they went. And they haven't even tried to integrate where they went. So let's talk about where those people went. So AEW content lives across multiple different fragmented digital ecosystems. In 2025, people are consuming pro wrestling and all forms of entertainment through these digital ecosystems. See, AEW content lives on live broadcasts through TBS and TNT, video on demand on HBO Max, YouTube clips, where AEW's channel has over 4 million subscribers, and posts for free full matches, highlights, and other web shows. And they also live on social media with Twitter clips, TikTok highlights, Instagram reels, and all of the other people who use AEW content and stream some of it and make reaction content and all of that. That's where AEW's content lives. See, when someone watches an MJF versus Samoa Joe clip on YouTube, that's still a viewer. Someone still viewed AEW's content. When someone watches Collision 3 days later on DVR, that's still a form of audience engagement. And when fans outside of the United States stream Dynamite on Fight, that's still part of the audience. The UK doesn't show Dynamite for 3 days after it airs in the United States. But Nielsen can't capture that because it's outside of the United States. And Nielsen doesn't measure all of these different ecosystems comprehensively. Their system was built to be around linear TV, meaning when it airs live, people watch. And if they didn't watch, they missed it. They couldn't watch the replay unless they showed a live replay later in the evening. Their system wasn't built around the infinite nonlinear world of modern content consumption. So AEW could be killing it online. They could be doing millions of views across all digital platforms, and they could still be labeled a ratings disappointment because of an outdated measuring system says only 720,000 people watched it live on a Wednesday night in the United States. That's not failure, though. That's miscounting. That's using only a small sample of the data. And let's put it in another sense. It'd be like if somebody, some political pollster did a political poll for the 2028 presidential election, but they only sampled in states that voted by more than 10% and 1% one specific way. So if they and they took that data and they said this is the national poll, but it's based off of states that voted 10% Democrat or in 2024 by 10% or more that were Democrat leaning states or Republican leaning states, and trying to say that this is no the way that you get a really good sample is you go to the places where it's actually closer, because that's where the data can change. And that's where you can see how people's viewpoints have changed. If you go to California and ask, are you voting Republican or Democrat? You're probably going to get a wildly different answer than if you went to North Carolina or Pennsylvania. And so you can't miscount and say California's numbers are a national standard or Florida standards are a national standard. You have to take a mix of the entire system. And to bring it back to this conversation, saying that US views are the only thing that matters when AEW is getting millions and millions of views internationally around the world, this is not a failure. AEW is not a failure. It is a simple miscount or a representation of the numbers. See, this is where it gets really messy, though. See, over the last couple of years, and even as of the last couple of weeks, Nielsen is continuously trying to modernize their approach. They're integrating what we like to call big data. Right? That sounds cool, right? It sounds modern. It sounds like
at Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We're finally catching up. But what does that mean? What does that actually mean, though? See, basically, Nielsen is combining traditional household panel data, so that small sample group, and they're mixing it with return path data from cable boxes and smart TVs. That sounds very, very difficult to understand, but basically what happens is there are certain smart TVs, and again, this isn't known to the public, I don't think, but certain smart TVs have return path data that you can turn on and off, opt in and or opt out of, sending your data to Nielsen. And what they do is they take this traditional household panel data, they mix it with the data that they get from the smart TVs, and they extrapolate it now from millions of devices instead of just those few thousand homes. And in theory, it sounds like it should make the ratings more accurate. But in reality, in practice, it makes everything look worse. And let me tell you why. Because Nielsen's data captures more silent TVs, meaning more households where the TV is on, but nobody's actually watching, or where streaming usage replaces live cable. So like my smart TV could be on, but I'm watching Netflix instead of live cable. And it's actually what the data is actually showing is how few people are actually tuning in live on live cable. So when you see that AEW's numbers are dropping after this big data rollout, it's not necessarily because fewer people are tuning in. It's because Nielsen actually now has a more complete picture of how small live TV is left. How little people care about live TV. It's not actually exposing AEW. It's exposing the collapse of live television. And the irony is, the more accurate Nielsen gets, the worse everybody looks. The networks hate it. The advertisers hate it. And here's the truth. Live cable viewership is dying. And wrestling is just a reflection of that broader trend. This is what I've been saying several episodes ago when I said AEW has to make the shift to putting their show solely on HBO Max and leave TBS and TNT behind because that's where people are watching. And I expect that it will happen eventually. This is why Raw is moved to Netflix, because that's where the people are watching. And so I'll give kudos to WWE right here. They saw they're seeing the signs, and they're actually doing something about it. Because what the reality is I would say within 10 years, live TV is going to be dead. And if you're still stuck on a live TV model, you're going to die out. And I like that AEW has done the simulcast on Max, right? And I still believe the majority of AEW's audience is watching on Max. And I know people are going to say that's not proven because they don't give the Max data. But my belief is that the majority of people watch on Max. Because live TV is dying. And so let's ask this question. Where does that leave AEW? Let's just be honest. AEW's real audience is massive. WWE's real audience is massive. Like, everyone likes to say, oh, they'll never replicate the Monday Night Wars when people are putting 5 million, 4.0s and 5.0s. Now we're getting, 1 million max or 750,000 or no, these audiences are still massive. They're just spread out. And the problem is Nielsen only measures a slice of it. But let's look at the data we can see. AEW's YouTube channel regularly does 10 to 15 million views per week across all uploads. Their pay-per-views sell between 140,000 and 200,000 pay-per-view buys, often more than WWE B-level shows on Peacock. AEW's social media reach combined across all platforms hits tens of millions of impressions per event. Per event. Internationally, they air in over 150 countries, most of which Nielsen doesn't even track. So if we're talking total reach again, and that's my perception, and this is why I don't like these casual fans who literally have this America-centric mindset of, well, if people aren't watching in America, then people aren't watching anywhere else. That's not true. The American market, yes, it might be the most beneficial for your sponsors, but that's not a good enough reason to say a company is living and dying, because we live in a global economy nowadays where people across the world are watching all sorts of entertainment. If we're talking total reach, I don't have a specific number, but AEW probably gets more weekly eyeballs than their Nielsen number could ever show. But wrestling media and ratings Twitter only latch onto that one number, as if the 18 through 49 demo at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday night tells a whole story. But it never does. It never did. It doesn't tell the whole picture. It only tells a slice of it. It only shows a piece of it. What matters to me, and what should matter to advertisers, and what should matter to everyone, is engagement and monetization. If fans are watching clips, if fans are buying merch, if fans are going to shows, if fans are paying for pay-per-views, if fans are subscribing to HBO Max to watch AEW, that's revenue, that's sustainability, and honestly, that's success. Ratings don't cash checks anymore. Engagement does. Here's another pet peeve of mine. And it's been slowly becoming a bigger pet peeve for me. When AEW first started, and they had pretty decent numbers in 2019, right? Oh, they're doing really good in the and they're hitting 1.2 million. They're this, they're that, this demographic stuff. I used to be all in it, but as I come to figure this out with Nielsen and how they actually do their, I've realized how limited a Nielsen rating can actually be. I don't really give a fuck about the ratings anymore. I don't really give a fuck about the demographics anymore. The 18 to 49 demographic, I don't even really know what that means. I don't honestly really know how Nielsen can tell if the person who's watching on a TV is within that 18 to 49 demographic. Like, people still talk about the demo as if it's 1999, when ad buyers actually cared about reaching young adults who were glued to the TV. But see, the media world has flipped upside down since, you know, 1999. Advertisers now buy across platforms, not TV time slots. That's why, and people, you know, came out against it, but that's why those ICE commercials, they're on the cable, but they're also on Netflix, and they're also on Max, because they're not buying ad space for just television anymore. They're buying ad space for platforms, and for, you know, that way you can show that same commercial 85 times on the same platform every single day, instead of, you know, twice during the show. They follow audience behavior, not Nielsen numbers. They use data-driven targeting through Google, Meta, YouTube, TikTok, streaming apps, all with the precision Nielsen could never dream of. Let's just be honest. The Google metrics, the Meta engagement metrics, the engagement metrics on Twitter and TikTok, they probably tell a better picture than Nielsen could ever tell. So when you hear that AEW, quote unquote, beat Raw in the demo, it may be a fun bragging point, but it's not really a metric that decides who gets the ad money. It's more like a vanity stat, a relic of the old media economy. Let me tell you what metrics actually matter now. I'm gonna give you the picture of what matters now. Social engagement. Do your shows trend on Twitter every week? AEW shows do. Video on demand watch time. How many views are you getting over time? Do people just watch it live and then never watch it again? Or do people come back and watch it days and days and weeks and months later? Subscription drivers. Is your content driving people to buy Max? Is your content driving people to buy Netflix? Is your people driving people to buy ESPN? That's a metric that matters. Ad impressions across digital platforms matter. Event attendance matters. Pay-per-view conversions matter. Merch sales matter. And on those fronts, AEW is at the least competitive and in some cases thriving across these metrics. And let me tell you what the future holds. because the future is already starting to happen. There's going to be companies like ComScore, VideoAmp, and even YouTube Analytics that are beginning to offer cross-platform measurement. That means that you can track your total audience reach across TV, across streaming, and across digital platforms. When that becomes the new industry standard, and I promise you it will, Nielsen's overnight ratings will finally die the death they long deserve. AEW's real audience will finally be visible. WWE's real audience will finally be visible. Not just the few hundred thousands on TBS, but the millions of people engaging every week across all platforms, across the social media, internet, digital space. That's the world we're heading towards. But for now, wrestling discourse is stuck between eras. They have one foot in the past, arguing over the numbers on from Nielsen, and one foot in this digital space where the numbers really don't mean a thing. Here's the bigger issue, though. The obsession with the ratings isn't just misguided. It is toxic to wrestling discourse. Every week, people weaponize Nielsen numbers as ammo for fan wars. AEW's failing. WWE's dominating. Collision is doomed. And the reality is, none of it actually reflects the business. AEW isn't failing. WWE isn't infallible. They both have to adapt to the same shift, and they're adapting to it, which is, and that shift is a world where cable no longer matters. You can't judge AEW in 2025 by the same standard you judged WCW in 1998. The environment is completely different. The economy of attention has changed. And again, if you actually care about wrestling's long-term health, if you actually care about talent getting paid what they should get paid, about new promotions surviving, about fans having more options, you should be rooting for a system that measures the reality, not one that distorts reality. So what should the... When people say ratings, what should ratings mean in 2025? Ratings should mean total reach. Ratings should mean viewer engagement across all touch points. That includes live viewing, on-demand streaming, social media clips, international audiences, and pay-per-view buyers. If you combined all of that, AEW's true rating would probably look, and again, I don't have numbers, but again, would probably look like something more across the line to 4 to 5 million people engaging with the product in some way, shape, or form on a weekly basis. I will say that again, AEW's true rating would probably look like something close to 4 to 5 million people engaging with the product in some way, shape, or form. But Nielsen only counts live cable households, and so the picture we get online is a fraction of that. The metric is smaller, not the audience. And once Warner Brothers Discovery or whoever AEW's next partner is, because it may not always be Warner Brothers, once they fully integrate that digital and streaming data, that's when the narrative will shift. Because networks don't care about old school bragging rights anymore. They care about total engagement ecosystems. And so let's land this plane. AEW's ratings don't matter. Not because AEW is irrelevant, but because the measurement system is irrelevant. Cable TV is a sinking ship. Nielsen is bailing water with a Dixie cup, a red Solo cup. And the world has already moved on to streaming, video on demand, and social engagement. Nielsen's big data rollout, it doesn't expose AEW like people are making it seem. It only exposes the truth that live linear television is a fraction of what it used to be. And so the number that we get that gets posted every week may look smaller, but the actual audience is larger, more fragmented, and more global than ever before. So the next time you see a tweet from someone like Heel Uzi or JD from NY or all of those other engagement farmers that says AEW dropped 700,000 or AEW dropped to 400,000, I promise, don't panic. Just remember, you're looking at the ghost of an old system trying to measure a new world. AEW's success will not be defined by a Nielsen spreadsheet. It'll be defined by whether people are still talking, watching, and paying attention. And right now, they are. So listen, stop letting the ghost of 1995 tell you what matters in 2025. The world has changed, and it's time wrestling fans caught up to today's market. Listen, y'all, this has been another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. That was your monologue for today. We'll hit the outro of the segment, and then we'll close the episode here. That's your monologue. All right, and that's today's rant. Today, again, my name is Junkyard James. This is a Saturday monologue episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I appreciate everybody for tuning in and listening to this. If you're still watching on the YouTube, hit that like button. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you think about this topic. Are the ratings out of date, or am I just out of my mind? Leave me a comment. Share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, so that you never miss another video from the channel. If you're listening on audio platforms, make sure that you subscribe on that audio platform or follow or whatever their term of choice is. Leave me a 5-star review like it's Dave Meltzer in the Tokyo Dome. Let everybody know that this is a really good podcast to listen to for these hot takes. As the intro music to the Saturday show says, Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Give me that 5-star review and let people know they can trust what I have to say. Until next Thursday, y'all, enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the wrestling that's coming up in the next several weeks. Here we got, we're loading up with a Perth pay-per-view for WWE. We're heading into Wrestle Dream, Blood and Guts. Like, this is the Continental Classic. John Cena's final few appearances the last couple months of the year should be good. And we'll capture that here on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Again, I'm Junkyard James. Thank you to all of our affiliate partners. All of those links are in the description box below this video or in the show notes if you're listening on audio platforms. Until next week, y'all. This has been the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, where we love wrestling so you don't have to. I'm Junkyard James. We'll see y'all next week. Beyond the
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.